recall, Justin's message was, "I will never," was the title of his message, "I will never." And then we were to fill in the blanks, right? I will never. And then we see God do something amazing in your life that you told him you would never. I know for me, it was, I will never preach. I will never be a preacher, because that means you have to get up in front of people and you have to actually open your mouth and say words. And for me, that was petrifying. And by the way, still is. I have not lost the fear of standing in front of people. But you know what? God had other plans. And praise the Lord for that. Maybe there's somebody here. You said, I will never, and God went ahead and did it anyway. Dan? Yeah, but God, that's right. Anybody else? Wow. Yep, yeah, Faye?
Well, I always supported missionaries, but I said I would never go to a lovely country. Uh-huh. As a missionary, I've been to China three times and Mexico once.
Amen. But God, right? Yes. But God. Yeah, well, there are a lot of things we say, I will never. But God has other plans for us, right? And that's the way that kind of works. All right. What we're going to be doing today, though, is something that has been done for 2,000 years at least. A lot of times in the first Sunday of the month, and that's when we have our communion service, and as you can see, we're going to have our communion service this morning. It's kind of at the end of a service, and I preach on a message, and then right at the end I say something like, now we need to prepare our hearts for communion and that kind of thing. And the Lord said to me, you're tacking that on to the end of a sermon? Do you realize how important communion is? And so I was fully prepared to preach out of Acts chapter 5. And the Lord has, but God. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll begin in verse 23 when we get there. But as I said, it was something that's been done for 2,000 years. And it's based on another event that happened 1,000 years before that. We all know that as the Passover in the land of Egypt. And Moses was the leader, and he was instructed by God to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, he didn't want to do that. So Pharaoh repeatedly refused Moses' request. And you recall in Exodus chapter 20, you see the plagues, the things that come upon the nation, or Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. The first nine plagues, and still Pharaoh would not let the people go. So Moses said to Pharaoh, on this certain date, the firstborn of each family in Egypt will be slain by God's death angel unless he released the people. Well, Pharaoh said, ain't going to happen. Can't do it. So the death angel passed over the Egyptians, the land of Egypt. On that appointed night, each Jewish family was told to sacrifice a lamb, smear the blood on the doorposts and the lintels of the house. And when God's death angel passed over, anyone who was in a house where the angel saw the blood, they would pass over and no one would be harmed. Do you realize, most of us don't understand, there were Egyptians who were in the houses of the Hebrews. And you know what? God didn't kill them because they were under the blood. Well, after that, Pharaoh finally relents, releases the Jewish people, and thus is born the Jewish feast, which we call the Passover. Well, in Jesus' day, they were still doing it. They would observe the feast and the same way they did it back when they were in the land of Egypt. But Jesus took the Passover feast and gave it a radically different interpretation and showed what its ultimate meaning really was. And so that's what I'd like to look at this morning. Jesus, because Jesus became our Passover lamb. He is the one. His blood covers the sin of all of those who will receive His forgiveness and His protection. You see, He died for the world, right? Isn't that what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's a gift that's applied to everyone. Only if you receive the gift. The gift is available, but if you don't take it, it's not yours. And that's the way it is, folks. There's no other way. So the Lord's Supper's observance was inaugurated by Jesus in the night of His crucifixion, or the eve of His crucifixion. Let me give you as a text, Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28, says, after they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins. The simple message of the Lord's Supper is this: because of His death of His body, the shedding of His blood, God can pass over our sin. In fact, at His death, Jesus obliterated our sin. He didn't just cover it like they did in the Old Testament. He obliterated it. He washed it clean. So we haven't come here to mourn the dead today. We've come here to celebrate. Today is a day of celebration. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 because the Apostle Paul gives an account of the Lord's Supper that the Lord personally gave him. Now, you got to understand this. God, or Jesus, personally gave Paul the instructions which we are about to read. And he describes exactly what the Lord's Supper is to be and how it's to be observed. So let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we're grateful for your word, and I pray that you would open our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would minister very specifically to each one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're told specifically that we are to remember nothing else in this moment but except the Lord Jesus, His body and His blood. He's to be our sole focus. This is a time when we are to get away from everything emotionally and mentally and totally focus on the Lord Jesus. Not just Him, but specifically on His death. Jesus never told us to remember His birth. He never told us to remember His life or His teachings, though we should remember all of those things, and we do. He specifically said that we should remember His death. Keep in mind, we're guests at this dinner, at this supper. We're guests. He's the host. And our focus is to be solely on Him and what He did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. Now, I don't know how many of y'all saw the movie The Passion of the Christ. It's not for the faint of heart, I can tell you that. But it's not just a movie. It's a feast. It's a supper. It is a celebration. In fact, there's no more beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us and what He means to us than the Lord's Supper. Today, people agree that Jesus is a great teacher, or He's a great philosopher, or He was a great moral leader. But Jesus wants us to remember not just how He was born and how He lived, but how He died. And the Lord's Supper, each time we observe it, says, never forget Jesus died for you. Never forget. So the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance, but it's also a time of thanksgiving. Because we should be thanking God for sending His Son to be sacrificed on the cross and letting His blood be shed so our sins could be forgiven. Boy, I tell you what, if you can't get thankful about that, That's why we ought to come to the table with an attitude of gratitude. We ought to be thankful when we get here, thanking God he gave his son. You know, when I think of the way that Jesus suffered for me, I mean, I want to worship him. Don't you? Wow. I want to shout praises to the Lord. But when I understand the message, I understand that the Lord's Supper is also a time to reflect on the condition of our own lives. It's to look at the Lord Jesus, but we have to look inwardly too. We have to look at our own lives. Many years ago, Andre Crouch wrote a song which is a standard nowadays, but it put it so beautifully. How can I say thanks for the things that you've done for me? Things so undeserved, and yet you did to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Well, I tell you what, that so expresses why we should be thankful. So it's a time of remembrance. It's a time of thanksgiving. It's also a time of proclamation. In verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So it's a proclamation. When we take the Lord's Supper, you know what? We're also sharing a sermon. Maybe many people didn't realize that. Lord's Supper is probably the most eloquent sermon that about the death of Jesus Christ that has ever been preached. Now, I know there are people who are puzzled by the fact that we as Baptists are such sticklers about things like baptism and the Lord's Supper. There are people who say, "I don't understand the big deal about baptism. Why does it matter whether or not you're baptized by immersion or sprinkling or whatever it is?" Why does it matter that you take the Lord's Supper with a certain piece of bread and a little bit of some kind of drink? Won't any other food do? Well, the reason is because both the Lord's Supper and baptism are sermons about salvation. And unless they're observed correctly, the whole picture of salvation is lost. Buried with him in baptism, raised with him in the newness of life. "This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant." Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, "Therefore we've been crucified with him through baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we should also walk in newness of life." Paul's meaning is crystal clear. Baptism is the picture of the death and the burial. Likewise, the bread represents the body. The wine represents the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, let me say this. Not everybody can take the Lord's Supper because not everybody is a follower of the Lord Jesus. It's only for those who belong to the Lord. So the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. It's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of proclamation, but it's also a time of anticipation. Verse 26 says, "As often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death." I love these last three words. "Until he comes." Until he comes. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we're not only looking backwards, we're looking forward. We're to take that supper only until he comes back. We don't have to have Lord's Supper in heaven. We don't have to do this in heaven. We're not going to have to take any of the utensils with us. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. It's a link between the two comings of Jesus. It's a picture of his death, but it's also a promise of his coming. It points backwards to his crucifixion. It points forward to his coming. Backward to the cross, upward to the clouds. And each time we take it, we're reminded that Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a perfect life, who died a sinless death, was raised from the dead, is one day coming back to this earth so we can come and sit at his table forever and ever. Woo! I mean, that's somebody yell glory, will you? Glory! Woo! Okay. So the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. It's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of proclamation. It's a time of anticipation. It's also a time of examination. Examination. Look at verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 11. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. That word examine means to prove or to qualify. To qualify. In other words, before you take the Lord's Supper, you got to make sure you're qualified. And there are two things that qualify you. Number one, you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. He is yours, and you are His. Secondly, you're willing to be honest about any sin in your life, to take care of that sin before you have supper. That's basically what he's talking about. It's a time to deal with our sins. Number one, you need to identify it. Is there any sin in your life that you need to get corrected? Well, if there is, number two, correct it. Correct it. Confess it and ask for forgiveness. And then number three, to purify it. Make sure your heart's clean before the Lord. And the point Paul's making here is that there are some people who come to the Lord's Supper, and rather than giving up the sin in their lives, they just won't take the Lord's Supper. Listen, friends, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is not you to hold on to your sin and not take supper. The purpose is to influence you to get right with God so you can take the supper. When his supper is received with faith and gladness, then Jesus will be glorified, the saints will be edified, sinners will be evangelized, and God will be exalted. See, that's all exciting. And you just thought you were going to go, and that was it. No, there's a lot more to it. When we call to mind the price that Jesus paid for us and the fact that he lives for our justification, it should bring us to a place of praise and it should bring us to a place of worship. But there's one more thing. The Lord's Supper is a time of consideration. Verse 33 says, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Wow, wait for one another. You see, the Lord's Supper offers us as a family, the church, an opportunity to come together. And anytime we come together, we need to focus on the Lord Jesus, right? I know we're in such a volatile time in our nation right now. We saw that Thursday. Don't get me off on a rant here, all right? We are in such a volatile time in our nation, and we really need to come together. And we as a church need to understand that we belong to a family. You read it in your bulletin, it's on the back of our wall. We're a circle of strength. We're founded in faith and joined in love and kept by God. That's us. That's who we are. And anytime we get together like that, it's a very special time. Amen? It sure is. The Lord's Supper is a time when we're to remember each other. Jesus died for the person that's sitting beside you. He cares for the person that's in front of you. And he loves the person that's behind you. This is a time we need to think about one another. Now, while the Lord's Supper declares the faith of those who partake it, it also points to the truth of the gospel to those who don't know the Lord. Why do you take that? Well, I'm trying to explain, hopefully try to explain to you why we're doing what we're doing this morning. Why we gather at the Lord's table to observe that supper. We witness to a lost world that 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus went to a cross, died for our sins, rose again and lives today, and one day he's coming back. Woo-hoo! One day. That's a powerful witness, folks. It really is. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper, because of what he can do in us and through us. Now remember, I said this. Who's worthy to partake the Lord's Supper? The answer is simple. Anyone who is saved and living for the Lord is worthy. So here's the question. Are you saved? Is your life pleasing to the Lord? Are there hidden things in your life that you need to deal with this morning? It's a time to examine our hearts to be sure we've dealt with our sin and our failures. It's time for us to bow before the Lord in repentance and humility and ask Him to prepare us to meet Him at His table. Are you ready to receive the bread and the juice with a heart of true worship? Are you? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for all You've done for us. We thank You for this time when we come before You and we commit our hearts to You. Lord, if there's anyone here who has something that needs to be taken care of, now's the time. We love You so much, Lord. You have done so much in our lives. You have blessed us beyond measure. You have given us everything that we need in order to sustain our lives, to be witnesses for You. And Lord, You've told us that when we come to the table, when we come to remember Your death until You come again, what a wonderful time it is to say to others how much we love You. Lord, I pray that each one of us would examine our own lives. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts, then now's the time to take care of the problems in our lives. And as we come to the table, may we all come with a joy, with an excitement, with thanksgiving, and also with anticipation. We're to do this until You come back. My prayer is even so, Lord Jesus, come. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.